Our reading for this morning is found in the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 18, and beginning with verse 17. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring Abraham what he has spoken to him." Would you please bow your head with me? Oh, gracious Father, enlighten our minds, we pray, by the Spirit who proceeds from you, so that as your Son has promised, we may be led into all truth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Hospitality was an important commodity back in Old Testament times. And in fact, it was an important commodity in New Testament times as well. The Bible even tells us that we are to be hospitable to strangers in the book of Hebrews, where it says this: "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained angels unknowingly." Man, wouldn't that be something if the person that you were kind to yesterday, the person that you were helping, turned out to be an angel? I guess you wouldn't know it until maybe we get to heaven and find out those kind of things. But wouldn't that be something? There is recorded for us in Scripture a time when a man entertained someone actually much more important than an angel. Not merely an angel, but God himself came to visit this man. That man was Abraham, and this incident is recorded for us in the book of Genesis, chapter 18. And chapter 18 includes those three verses that we read just a minute ago, where God takes upon himself human form and pays an unusual visit to Abraham. Our lesson picks up the story with verse 17, with God speaking. And those words lift so easily off the page when we read them. And if these three verses is all that we read, we wouldn't have an inkling that something ominous and terrible is lurking in the background of this whole chapter, just waiting for the moment when it's going to burst forth and wreak terror on some people. The force that is hidden from Abraham at the time of our verses is revealed in the very next verse, and that force is the terrible wrath of God. And that wrath of God is about to be unleashed on two cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. And so this is God's itinerary, you might say, for chapter 18. First stop, Abraham's tent. Second stop, Sodom and Gomorrah. And so in verse 17, as he is preparing to leave Abraham, he says these words: "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do?" And the answer is implied: no, I'm not going to hide what I'm going to do. I'll tell Abraham. Why? Well, verse 18. Because Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him will all the nations of the earth be blessed. And verse 19 then: "For I have known him," or some translations say chosen, but it literally says known him, "in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about. What's he spoken about? Well, he's going to give Abraham a son, and eventually that son will be multiplied through his descendants into a great nation, and finally the Messiah will come through that nation. What has Abraham to do with Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, a couple of things at least. First of all, he's had dealings with these cities before, so he knows of the people and knows some of the people there, especially his own nephew Lot, who lives in those cities. And God is graciously and mercifully going to give Abraham an opportunity to plead for the life of Lot and his family. But secondly, and I think more importantly, I believe that the commentator was right when he said God is going to give Abraham an object lesson. He calls his attention to what he is about to do in Sodom and Gomorrah so that Abraham will understand the severity of God's judgment. And he will do what God tells him, which is to teach, command his children, actually it says, and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord. He's going to show him what happens when a nation strays so far, a city strays so far from God. It occurs to me as I read this that, man, God is serious, isn't he? He is really serious when he says he wants Abraham to command his children and his household after him, all those around him, to keep the way of the Lord. The consequences of not doing it are serious. And yet it happened to Israel, that nation that came from Abraham. Each generation is a light, sharing God's grace with the generation that follows them, and yet some did not do that in the nation of Israel, and some generations lost the light of the gospel, the light of God's grace for a time. God had to call his people back time and again to repent in the Old Testament, didn't he? But these people, Abraham and his descendants, are God's chosen people. I think there is a word of application to hear for Christians today even. And that is this. Those people are gone. Abraham's been gone a long time. Even the apostles, they've been gone a long time. Peter, John, disciples, they're gone. Now it's our turn. It's your turn. You're the light now. It's your turn to teach by your words and by your actions that you are a child of God. Isn't that what he meant when he said, "You shall be my witnesses," when Jesus said that? Teach your children. Some of you don't even have children yet. Most of you don't even have children yet. But some of you don't even want to have children, I know. God has a way of changing your plans and changing your mind about children. Believe me. I didn't want them either when I was in college. But when you have them, teach them. Teach them by your words and by your actions how important it is to follow God's way. Teach those around you. Witness to them for your Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Yeah, I want to be a good witness, but you know, I have enough trouble walking in the way of the Lord myself. It seems like whenever temptation comes my way, man, it's so tempting." That's the thing about temptation, isn't it? It's so tempting that I give in. And I don't want to tell somebody about God in 1 minute and then talk behind my friend's back the next. Sometimes it seems like I can undo the very witness that I try to make to somebody. There are a couple of things I'd like to say to this. The first thing is this. Don't you remember you have a Savior who has taken away those sins? He's washed them away with His own blood. God doesn't require sinless perfection. There's only one person in heaven one human being in heaven who lived on this earth who was like that. It's our Lord Jesus. And He came to take away your sins, and He did take them all away. And if you can trust Him to take you to heaven, and you can, if you can trust Him to take you to heaven, then when He says it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure, don't you think you can trust Him to do that too? To take you and, like a potter molds the clay, mold you into the person that He wants you to be? It's easy for Him. Seems hard for us. We're the sinful people. We have the worldly mindset, but it's easy for Him. And if He doesn't do it, who will? So trust Him. And then secondly, the second thing is this. When you speak words that testify to our Savior, let me say that another way. Because you have been forgiven, then you are entitled to speak those words that testify to our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, we must speak those words that testify to Him. Here's the neat thing about it. When we speak those words, we don't have to have the perfect thing to say. We don't have to have a perfect witness, because it's God who uses those things. It's God the Holy Spirit who applies them. It's Him who takes the word and impresses it upon somebody's mind. So, walk in God's way. You have a resource at your disposal to help you, the Holy Spirit. Walk in His way. And when you have children, command them to keep God's word. Don't let the chain, that unbroken chain of servants that started way back with the apostles and continues now to this day, one generation telling the next, don't let it end with you. Would you please pray with me? O gracious God, You make the minds of the faithful to be of one will. Grant unto Your people that they may love what You command, and then desire what You promise, so that among the manifold changes of this world, our hearts may always be fixed where true joys are to be found. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and with the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.